Hi, this is Pam Brown.
I'm Ann Diver-Stamness, and this is Chronologically Gifted, Conversations on Life After 50.
This week, our program continues an exploration of work in later life.
Our guest today is Dr. Peter Capelli, who is the George W. Taylor Professor of Management and Director of the Center for Human Resources at the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania. His research on employment includes the book Managing the Older Worker, How to Prepare for the New Organizational Order. Welcome to the program, Peter.
Thank you.
Your book, Managing the Older Worker, presents the idea of the power of inclusion in the workplace. What is the power of inclusion, and how is it playing out for older workers today?
Well, I'd say for older workers, it's not great. The idea behind the book is that we've got some incredible opportunities if you're an employer to engage a workforce that's everything employers say they want. It's skilled, good work attitudes, lots of experience, don't want long-term commitments, and yet it's not happening. And the lack of engaging these folks is leading to a real problem. So they're missing a real opportunity to get employees they would like, and they're complaining about employees not being able to find the ones they like. There's all kinds of evidence that these folks are actually better workers than younger ones. There's also all kinds of evidence that they work better with younger people than just having all younger people in the same groups. So it's a story about some missed opportunities.
What are some of the myths about older workers that can create situations in which they face discrimination in the workplace?
Well, I think there's a bunch of them. And, you know, one of the ways to think about this is that when we think about the kind of jokes and that are told and stereotypes that people have, almost all of them are out of bounds now, except for jokes about people who are older. So the jokes all turn on, and the stereotypes turn on people who are really infirm rather than people who are older. And, you know, among the assumptions we hear is that people don't work as hard when they get older, they're not as motivated, they can't think fast, they can't process information, they can't be trained, you know, they're stuck in their ruts, they've run out of energy, all that kind of stuff. And there's really no evidence for any of that.
Peter, when you talk about older workers, does that include people who are working because they have to versus wanting to?
Sure. And I think, you know, increasingly that's going to be the case. You know, if you are in your 60s, you and a partner, there's at least a 50% probability one of you will live well into your 90s. And so one of the problems is if we think about people retiring at 62, which is at the moment kind of the modal retirement age, and they're going to live another 30 years, it's very difficult to have enough money to make that happen. So we're all probably, I mean, as a population, going to have to work longer. And the idea that we can all stop at 62 is probably no longer true, unless we want to die young, which I don't think anybody wants to do.
What benefits do older workers bring to the workplace that younger workers may not have?
Well, here's a simple way to test this. If you were to go to the hospital and you'd say, give me the oldest doctor, I want to see the oldest doctor here, people would think that's funny. But if you said, give me the most experienced doctor, they would say, well, of course, right? And the thing, of course, is that age and experience happen to be extremely correlated, right? Like almost perfectly in lots of occupations. So one of the things they bring is experience, which is tacit knowledge, the kind of stuff you can't learn in a book. Older workers have better interpersonal skills. They're not as competitive, and maybe that is because of life circumstances. You know, they're not climbing a corporate ladder. They're not necessarily trying to achieve something big in the workplace. They're willing to work with other people. They're used to dealing with younger folks because everybody's getting younger as you get older, right? So they're tolerant of that. Basically, things like turnover is actually lower for older workers. We think, well, look, they're going to retire, but they're not job hopping the way younger workers often are. Absenteeism is lower. And in general, the evidence on job performance shows that it's higher. Performance appraisals tend to go up when people get older, and other measures of job performance go up as well. So you name it, and things seem to get better with older workers. And again, it makes perfect sense if you think age and experience are highly correlated.
Given that, those are pretty powerful endorsements. Why is it difficult for older workers to find employment?
I think some of it is these stereotypes. I think some of it is, and particularly in our book, what we were writing about was this issue of younger subordinates, which increasingly the case, especially for people who are trying to come back into the workforce or change employers when they're about retirement age, they're almost by definition being managed by or possibly managed by somebody who's younger. And that seems to be the heart of the problem, that many younger supervisors find it difficult to manage older subordinates. So one of the reasons why that is they often aren't good managers. They don't know how to manage older people. They don't know how to manage anybody. So the way in which they manage is carrots and sticks, and that doesn't work so well with people who are at the end of their careers. You know, the promise of the big bonus is, you know, in a few years, or it doesn't matter much. Threatening to fire you doesn't matter so much, too. But in particular, I think what doesn't work well is management style, which says, do this because I know best. I have more experience than you do. And one of the things that we have started to do in the U.S., which big mistake, but we've been doing it for a while, is to promote people into the management ranks based on their performance in their previous job. So we promote the best individual contributor to be a manager. And one of the reasons we do that is just easier to do. But you could imagine if you were the best individual contributor managing a bunch of other individual contributors, the way you would do it is, you know, I know best. I was better at this job than everybody else. But if you've got somebody that you're managing who's actually been doing that job longer than you have, and they likely know some things you don't know, it's pretty threatening to do. So that seems to be the heart of the problem, is younger supervisors are afraid to manage older subordinates because they don't know how to manage them. You can't manage them, presumably, the way you can manage people who are much more dependent on you and don't know as much. So that seems to be the heart of the problem.
That seems like a good place for us to end the conversation. We want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today.
My pleasure.
That's all the time we have for today's show. Annie is our editor and engineer.
Tune in next Thursday to Chronologically Gifted, Conversations on Life After 50. For more information, past shows, and the links to our podcasts, email, and Facebook group, go to chronologicallygifted.org.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Annie. Thanks for listening.
We'll be here next week and hope you will be too.